A lonely vegetarian sweep you off your feet like a maid Marian having fun like a seminarian await. You say you're a happy Unitarian laughing in the wind like an old Bulgarian. Hey, by the way, are you a librarian?
Oh, hello and welcome to the Mount Kisco Public Library Podcast. Today we will be interviewing Fidencia Solomon, who was published as a poet at the age of 15 and has been writing ever since. And we hope that you will find this talk as inspirational as we did. She's a really fun person. So enjoy. Hi, is this Fidencia?
Is this Deirdre?
It's Deirdre, yes. And I have Maria here with me.
Hi.
Hello. And we were just really interested in your poem and how you got published, because we understand you were 15, and we wondered if we could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Sure.
So could you tell us, were you always interested in writing?
Since I was 7 years old, my mom used to give me books to read, and I used to tear them up. I used to throw them about, but she kept buying books for me. So eventually I became an avid reader, and I was reading all the time. And when I was in the second grade, my grandmother had some blank white paper that she had in a large drawer. So I decided to take the paper, fold it in half, and try to make it look as much like one of the Dell novels I used to read as I could. So I even tried to like make a mock logo and such. And I wrote a story about four friends that went to a haunted house, and it ended with a kiss. So basically, I think between 7, 15, and 35, I've stayed the same, because all my stories still have romance, and poems all have romance.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I'm not sure if it's so great that I haven't changed since 7, but that's okay.
Well, I think everybody kind of stays the same in essentials, don't you?
Or... Oh, absolutely. I actually read once that people basically have their basic temperament from the time that they're in their single digits. So the only things they can do, they can change, but the basic temperament that you have is set from your single digits. So I think if you ask me, like, I feel more or less the same as I felt when I was 8 years old, except I'm obviously older and more knowledgeable. But I basically think and operate the exact same way I did when I was 8.
Wow.
And as far as the poem, it's so funny because I went to the High School of Graphic Communication Arts, and we had it set up that it was sort of a vocational meets academic high school. So you had a major in high school. So my major was creative writing. And honestly, I didn't want to write poetry. I wasn't interested in poetry.
Really?
I wasn't even that interested in it. But I did it because when you take creative writing, you have to explore all different types of writing. So I said, okay. And when I started it, I remember I'd had some violent, passionate crush at the time. I'm like, wait a minute. This is a good vehicle for expression.
Oh, is that funny? Yeah.
So when I got to be older, I was, not now, I still write poetry, but I think when I was a teenager, I was like, some people are chain smokers. I was a chain poetry writer. So I would write like 20-something poems a day. That would be my thing. Like every time I had 5 seconds, I'd write a poem. So that was what I did. So I really got to like it. But when I started, I wasn't that interested in doing it.
Right. So Looking for Change is not your first poem then?
Looking for Change is the only poem I ever had published, but I've written poetry since I was 14, and I still write. So, but that was the one that got me published. So, you said you wanted to know the entire story behind that?
That would be awesome. Yep.
Well, I was writing these very typically romantic poems, which is what I did. And Nancy Perry, who wrote the editor's note in AARP, she said to me one day, well, why don't you write about something else? She said, why don't you try something different? And, you know, since I'm always like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. It was a great vehicle for writing romantic poems for me, so I had no problem. But I said, okay, if you want me to try something different, I'll try something different. So I wrote the poem. She said, write about the things you have in your pocket, because I guess I should also back up a bit. I used to always meet her at the Time Life building, because at that time she was the editor at Fortune magazine, and Graphic Communication Arts had a mentoring program. So in the 4 years that I was there, I was at like different magazines and different places that we would have mentors, and she was my first. And we would have probably have stayed together for the 4 years, but she went to California, so that's how we got separated for a period. And I would come meet her every single week on Tuesdays, and she would show me around Fortune, and we would talk about some writing and different things pertaining to, you know, our interests. Mm-hmm. We had similar interests, and we still talk, obviously. So, and I remember
so
I would
you're
always
still friends come, now, huh?
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to go visit her next month. So.
Wow.
Yeah, we're friendly. Mm-hmm. So I was digging in my pockets all the time, and quite honestly, this is still how I leave most places. I go through all of my stuff to see what loose and odd stuff is there to make sure that everything is organized. So I always have to do a little organization before I go. Now I have, like, my handbag, which is really like a tote bag more so than a handbag. But I would always go through my pockets and see what was in them. Like, you know, to get my school pass, get whatever money I needed, anything that I needed, I would go and dig through these pockets. She said, so why don't you write about this? And I said, okay, if you want me to. I said, you know, I was open, so I wrote about it. And at the very end, I think, as really to be defiant, you know, and going through it, I said, you know what? There could be a locket here. Yes, there can be romance after all. Yes, yes. So that was when I put in the line about the broken locket. But that was just because I had to have romance in it. I've been having conversations with friends because I also watch a lot of movies, and I still am an avid reader. And I told most of my friends that I share about books with, I said, I'll read anything as long as there's romance in it, or at least some type of, you know, tension between two people. And I was describing this to one of my co-workers today who reads a lot, and I said, even if it's dark. So one of my favorite books of all time is Damage by Josephine Hart, which is also a movie by Louis Malle, which is very true to the novel. And have you ever read Damage?
No.
So Damage is about a man. The first four chapters, it seems very tame, very, you know, very average. This man is a doctor. He's going to run for politics. He's married. He has two kids. And then he meets Anna. Anna is his son's girlfriend at the time. It's not giving anything away to say that the guy eventually proposes to her and she becomes his fiance. But this man's life has been so straight-laced and so streamlined that when he looks at Anna, one of the first things he says is that even if he never talks to her, just know that there's another creature like her and that they existed in the same room at the same time was enough. But of course, that was not enough. And he's completely obsessed with her. I mean, the obsession is insane. And its ending is it's just the best book. And the movie is good, but the book is better. The book is always
that
better,
often
obviously.
Happens.
And the best line in it is that Anna says to him, damaged people are dangerous. They know they can survive.
Oh,
so,
that's very interesting.
Yeah, that is one of the best books. And also I like Asylum by Patrick McGrath. Have you read this book?
No, I haven't read anything, actually, by Patrick McGrath.
It's also a novel about a man that takes his wife in the 1950s to go to the asylum because he's a doctor, and she falls in love with one of the patients.
Uh-oh.
And the movie is, I think, was produced by Natasha Richardson. So she's in the movie, and also, which is one of my favorite books of all time, and the movie is true to that book as well. And Natasha Richardson said she felt that it should be done, this book, because every woman gets to that point where she's, you know, is at the edge, and she goes, should I jump off? You know, just throw all caution to the wind.
Ooh.
And just do whatever.
Ooh.
And so that's just to show you that if there's not proper romance, which I prefer, I'll go for something dark. But as long as that's an element in the story, I'm there.
Yeah. So are you a big Twilight fan?
No, I'm not, actually.
Interesting.
I am not. Uh-huh. I've had several friends recommend Twilight to me, and I have to say I did read a page discreetly over my neighbor's shoulder on the train, and I was really pulled in, and I said, oh, this does look interesting. But I haven't read it yet, so.
Yes.
should I?
Well, I have
should
to
I
say.
Should I definitely read it?
They're very addictive. I feel like you said, with the one page getting pulled in, I think you mm-hmm. just can't read, like, the first chapter. It's one of those books where it definitely pulls you in and you want to get to the end.
Mm-hmm. Really? This is not good to tell someone who's looking at a pile of books that she hasn't read yet. I have a problem with books. Yeah, I have a problem.
I mean, it's not a book that you need to get to right away. I mm-hmm. think it could wait. It's probably one of those. It's a very people are going to get mad at me for saying this. It's kind of like a little bit of a fluffy read.
So. Oh, I like fluffy.
Fluffy vampires. Oh, there are other creatures that are fluffier, though, than the vampires.
I only read once a romance novel by Rhonda Thompson with werewolves. I can't remember the title, but it was really good. But I often don't do the paranormal. I normally like when things go wrong with regular temporary environments, usually. So.
Oh.
But I mean, I'm open. I'm always open. So I will keep that in mind. Someone just gave me The Host, actually, by Stephanie Meyer. Mm-hmm. They just loaned it to me.
Yeah, that's actually very good as well.
Really?
Yes,
well,
not quite as paranormal as Twilight, but interesting.
That was the thing we were discussing, and I was telling her that I wasn't sure if I was ready to venture into all of that, because it's so the books are thick, and it's almost like a Harry Potter kind of situation, and I haven't done Harry Potter either. So I get committed, so I would have to read everything, so then it would become an obsession, and I know myself, so I have to be like, okay, if I start, I have to finish, and it would take a while, so.
Yeah, but I think The Host is, it's a totally different being than Twilight, so I think if you just read that, you probably would be okay.
Thank you for saving me from myself. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, Fidencia, though, uh-huh. to get back to poetry, how do you feel about this one poem making such a deep impact on so many people that now it's reprinted
it's
20 years
insane.
Later and all?
It's insane. I just think it's insane. I mean, when you think about the fact that I did it because it was an assignment, you know, and it wasn't even like I came up with it on my own, and, you know, it was just so such a deep 15-year-old that I sat down and said, let me write this really extremely profound poem that people will talk about 20 years later. I mean, no, it was just an assignment, and I did it, and I liked it when it was done. I thought it was a pretty decent attempt, and I mean, I hope all writers like what they've written. It would be kind of scary if you didn't, but I thought that, you know, I said, oh, it's a decent poem, and I was so happy when it was in 17, and I still love Mia Jovovich, who was the model that mm-hmm. was on the cover of the issue, mm-hmm. so I always feel very connected to her because she's on the cover of my issue, and my mom used to carry the magazine around with her, mm-hmm. and she had it in her bag, not even like she showed it to people, she just kept it in her bag because it was my poem.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That is.
Yeah,
sweet.
So she had, like, this copy that was, like, down buried in her bag, you know, she just had it because it was there, but she never bragged, like, she didn't tell a lot of people, and the same thing now when people in my office, oh, my God, I had the CEO of my company, actually, they said, Fidencia, did you write a poem 20 years ago? And I was hoping to keep a low profile, and I was like, yeah. And then they showed me the poem, and then I showed it to a couple of other coworkers, but then they all started finding out. And I remember I came to work one morning, and the poem was cut very neatly on my desk, and I said, and someone said to me, I know what you did 20 years ago, kind of like I know what you did last summer. They're like, I know what you did 20 years ago, and I was like, oh, boy, this is something. And then... Now, I mean, not to be obnoxious, but I don't think there are too many people named Fidencia. So I actually got an instant message from a colleague that says to me, is it you? I'm like, gee, it's a Fidencia Solomon, and it's not that many Fidencia that I know. let's think about this. It was Fidencia Jones, maybe, or Fidencia Smith, but it's Fidencia Solomon. Who do you think? I'm like, I think you probably got the right Fidencia. And so she says to me, oh, I can't believe that you did this. And then I got an email from a couple of people I didn't even know telling me how profound I was. And I was just like, oh, my God. You know, I felt so humbled because I just couldn't even imagine that it would affect anyone that much. And I think that's maybe sad, me being a writer, not understanding the power of it all. But, I mean, it just seemed so strange to me that people were so affected. You know, and it's a pretty simple poem about a girl with messy pockets. You know, so I'm really overwhelmed that people like it so much. It makes me happy, but it's overwhelming in a way.
Well, just in case there is anybody who doesn't know the poem, we were wondering if maybe you would read it for us.
Sure. So you want me to read it?
Yeah, we would love that.
Okay. I run into a phone booth, digging through my pockets for some change. Instead, I pull out a handful of old gum wrappers and a stale Hershey bar that I never got around to eating. 3 unemployed hairpins that once kept the hair off my face. A note I meant to send to my best friend. Unopened ketchup packets from recent binges at Mickey D's. A shiny gold locket with a broken clasp and a broken heart. I find the tissue to wipe away a single tear running down my cheek, and still no change.
I think that's awesome, and I love the poem, too, just like everybody
else. Thank you. Thank you.
And
it's just overwhelming to me. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's really nice. It's a great, great, great feeling, and it's nice that people are so affected by it, but it's just so funny because now I kind of understand in my 15 minutes as Andy Warhol with Grant. I found that it's really weird when people know you and you don't know them, but they, you know, think things, and then the people that know you suddenly think more like someone sees me. I'm like, Fidencia, you're such a celebrity. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, I'm not a celebrity. It's like you have a weird sort of, like, knowledge people have of you because of the poem, and it's just like, and I'm just still Fidencia every day. So, you know, I don't look at it that large. I mean, to me, it was embarrassing to have, you know, someone say to me, like, I'm like a celebrity. I was like, oh, God, no. I can still walk out of my house okay. And then there were some really fun people that said, are you mad because they said how old you are now? I said, I'm not old yet, so I'm okay with that. That wasn't one of the things I was thinking of, but that's okay. And it's funny the way that Nancy wrote the article, because she mentioned that I was speaking Russian or learning Russian. And я немного понимаю по-русски, which means I understand a little Russian. But now someone said to me, are you still learning Russian, Fidencia? And I said, well, yeah. I said that I, you know, understand a little bit. And they go, not according to the article in AARP. It says that you're studying Russian. And I'm like, okay, well, now that's scripture. So now we know that I can speak the language fluently because AARP says
it. It's so funny because I think I told you when we talked that I found that AARP article on my dad's table. And I was like, oh, this is so cool because this woman wrote this poem when she was 15 and we just were speaking to local kids who were writing, and I just think it's wonderful when young people pursue something they're interested in like that. And I wonder, because we do the podcast with teenagers sometimes, and sometimes they listen to it.
Hopefully.
But if you had anything that you wanted to impart to young people about that, or what was it like for you at that age? Doing something you love to do like that and getting it published.
I think we don't, in general, inspire not just young people, but people in general to write. in a way that there are the people that are like, you know, I guess like me, that just know and just write all the time, and, you know, they know. But there are people that I think could, and they don't, because they're afraid to, because they think that they have to do it a certain way. And they think that it has to be done a certain way. And I talk to people, and I say to them, like, I was having a conversation with a couple of people that I know, and they're so, like, you know, very perceptive, and they see things. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be a writer. I don't see the things you see. I'm like, you should write. And they look at me, and they say, but how would I get the words onto the page? And I think the main thing with writing, especially I think from a young age, that people should teach people how to write fearlessly and not, I think, because you're always being shown how to write an essay, how to use the language properly. And there's not so much focus on having fun with the language. You know, you learn it so that you can break all the rules. You don't just learn them to, you know, just strictly stay by it. You know, you learn it so that you can go out there and have fun with it and do different things. And I don't know, maybe because I read a lot, you know, and maybe because I grew up in a family that we talked a lot. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm very chatty.
Yeah, we can hold on to that somehow.
But I mean that I was never afraid to speak it so then I could write it. And there's no difference to me between speaking and writing. And I tell people that if you're articulate, then that's what you put. You don't, it doesn't have to, you know, you don't just say something and then you suddenly now, because you're putting it on paper, it has to be structured a different way. It's still you. It's still the way you would express it. Just put it down. And it's not indelible. You can erase it, you know, you can white it out. You can just put what you need to put there. I know when I was in college, I was the editor of the Creative Voices section of our newspaper. And this one girl, well, of course, because I had the weakness for romance, she ran into the office and told me that she'd had this affair with this guy that had gone, and it was so intense, and her heart had been broken, and she had written this poem. She goes, and I'd never written a poem before, but she goes, it was the only way that I could express it. So, of course, I published it immediately. And it was beautiful, and it had so much heart. Mm-hmm. And the heart was there because she just did it. And she didn't say, well, you know, I have to have this much rhyme in it. It has to sound like this. She just wrote what was in her heart.
Yeah.
And if people would just, you know, instruct you to write what's in your heart, then you would see that you could just write this way. And I think if you gave people that sort of love and that sort of passion, essays wouldn't seem so laborious. I love being given writing assignments. When I was in school, I was really excited about essays, even if it was like the most boring thing on earth. I'm like, okay, what can I do creatively with it? But that's because I guess that I have the desire to do it. But some people hate essays, and they look at it and they're like, oh my God, how am I going to construct this? But if you would give people a love of, you know, utilizing the language and having fun with it first, and I think that if people did that more, we'd have a lot more writers in the world, and it would be a lot better place, and there'd be more books, and it would be really good, I think. So.
Yeah. So we're going to start working on that right away. And thank you for helping us towards this goal by saying those inspirational things and reading your poem.
Awesome.
Awesome indeed. 1,000 thanks to Fidencia for talking to us today. And we really hope you found her as inspirational as we did. And remember, if you have any questions, anything you want to know about poetry, any books you would like to be inspired by, there's one place you know you can go. That's right, your public library. And we do have a couple of programs coming up that we want to make you aware of. The first episode in our storytelling program is coming up on the 17th. It will be a production of The Frog Prince. And we will also be having a special Twilight party to celebrate the New Moon movie, and that will be on the 19th. So if you would like to find out more about those things or anything else that you think we can help you with, please give us a call. Our number is 914-666-8041. Again, that's 914-666-8041. 8041. In the meantime, make sure you keep reading. You better believe it.
Knowledge is something that can set you free. So if you want to end up famous like me, join the public library. The library, the library. It's the place where books are free. The library, the library. Librarians are often sexy.
Bye, till next time.